Hey guys, welcome back to Ponderosa Ponderers. As always, it's Rockwell Peterson.
And Isaac Wilhelmy.
Joining us in the studio today, we got our good buddies.
Joseph Wilhelmy.
And?
Boot Beagler.
Awesome. We got the boys in the studio with us today to talk about gaming. A topic that I think is a very good one to cover during this time of quarantine with everyone stuck inside. Because if you look at it statistically, the gaming numbers have gone through the roof. As a bunch of people who, you know, usually weren't that interested in gaming, you know, using the excuses of they're too busy, they don't have enough time, they're just not that interested. Well, now everyone's got more time than they know what to do with and are getting into video games. And a lot of people are discovering that they really like them. So to start off with, I think we'll have our guests give their general ideas on gaming. Lead the start of the conversation a bit.
I'm gonna start out with microtransactions. It's a good business thing, but it's also like if you don't make enough money, you're gonna get shunned and dropped completely. I mean, it's good to make money for the business. But at the same time, it's considered, in a sense, gambling.
Yeah.
In a way.
I would say back in 2017 was when microtransactions were the worst.
Oh,
especially
yeah.
When it started for Battlefront 2.
Oh, it's just everywhere. Everything.
Pay to win, baby.
I think companies have started to move away from that a bit, and I think the lawsuit against some of those bigger companies for child gambling really changed their tune because they realized they couldn't rely so heavily on microtransactions because involving the microtransactions, they had loot boxes. And because it was a randomized outcome, you know, you didn't buy one thing, you just hoped that you got something good.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times you wouldn't, you know, it scaled similarly to a casino. Yeah. That's what really got them, is these kids would throw in a lot of their parents' money and a lot of their own just for skins or things that they actually needed to win.
Yeah, like, I'm sure companies have found out by now, but back then when microtransaction started, they had this thing where if you were to buy it, you could get better armor, better tools, better everything to beat other people in the game. Well, I think that the community of gamers complained about that enough to where it's only like cosmetics, skins to make your guy look cooler now. So people with money can't be overpowering the others.
But what they've done, I'd say last year at least, with the transactions is it's like you can grind for the skins or whatever you want, kind of basically, because there's an in-game currency, or there's people who buy the in-game currency to get whatever they want without grinding. I'm one of those grinders, if I do say so.
Yeah,
we're well aware.
That's me.
So would you rather have a non-loot box system and just have this is what you get and when you pay for it, or would you like, I think that way is a lot better if you they do that, which I've seen a couple games do that, and I would rather have that instead of just loot boxes and have a chance, because those chances are really low.
I personally don't support microtransactions as an idea. I think you should buy the game and then you get the game. I think even DLCs are a bit out there unless they're just adding content after the game's been out for a while, you know, to kind of bring people back to it and give them stuff to keep playing if they really enjoy it. I think outside of cosmetic skins, it just shouldn't be a thing. And even at that, I'm like, you should have to earn it.
Yeah.
Yeah, earning is a lot more satisfying than buying it straight out.
Yeah. I like the concept of loot boxes, but I don't like the concept of paying real money for them. I think you should grind to get loot boxes, to get those skins and cosmetics.
I think part of the issue is these games are getting massive. the games being produced now are massive compared to what they used to be. And so grinding has become... I'd like to see game companies move away from the idea of grinding for anything. I don't think you should have to put in hours upon hours upon hours to unlock everything in a video game and to get basically to the end of the game. You know, because it works in some sense, but I think a lot of it is taken from RPGs that were originally created with a much shorter scope and a, you know, a much smaller thing, much smaller game to work with. Because, yeah, RPG games have always been one of the largest games out there, but you can see as games get more massive, they're starting to incorporate RPG elements that I don't think are necessary. You know, in my shooter games, I want a gun. I don't want any level ups. I don't... Just give me cool missions and let me do things. That's why I really like the Hitman franchise, because yes, you grind a bit, but it's not necessary. You don't have to. You can just go in, have fun, you unlock some things as you go. I like that style of games.
The Witcher is another really good game. CD Projekt Red, they're held back Cyberpunk 2077 because it wasn't ready, and I would rather have them, a company, hold it back than just pump it out and not have a full game.
Yeah.
Like EA has done. How many games now?
All of them? All of them? 15. It's early access! Yeah. My character doesn't exist. It's early access. You're fine.
They ruined the Battlefield franchise, the Star Wars franchise, but Star Wars did come back because of the community. That community did really well. 2020, they had their last update just this month in April, but they came from a long way of pay to win.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because I remember playing, you know, Battlefront, Battlefield. I really like both of the gaming franchises. I just don't like what EA did with them, and I think EA is the perfect example of what is really going wrong in all the games that we're dealing with now. It's complacency. And part of it is our fault, you know, because we've been saying for years, wow, this game looks so good. We haven't been saying, wow, the storyline is amazing. Wow, the gameplay is so good. You know, the mechanics are great. The number one thing you hear people say is, wow, this game looks amazing.
Yeah, looks realistic.
Yeah.
Like Battlefield 1, the multiplayer was pretty much a story mode.
Yeah.
Was it not?
No, it was. And it was cool, but that's what game companies have been focusing on, and it's not what we're actually interested in. It's just the fact that they are trying to respond to what we're saying, but they've had enough success already that they're like, oh, they just want it to look better visually. We don't have to be creative. We don't have to think of new things. We don't have to innovate. We can just release the same thing over and over again, just make it look better.
Yeah, and I'm sure they can make it look way better than it already is, but just like do snippets every year just to make it look a little bit better than last year.
True.
Like Black Ops 4, no campaign.
Yeah.
Because they don't. I mean, they do have like stories for the characters. That's not really a campaign, is it?
No. Mm-hmm. No.
I would wait, like, 3 years for another COD, because the campaign is what I'm mostly interested in. Mm. And multiplayer is fun. It's just, I want a good storyline with, like, a whole aspect of... You're gonna go do this because this, and there's consequences for this.
That's interesting, because I actually couldn't care less about a storyline in COD, because I get COD simply for the multiplayer.
Yeah.
Like, having a storyline in that could not mean less to me. I haven't. Yeah.
The only
COD I don't think I've played it in years.
Campaign I've played was Modern Warfare 2.
Mine was Black Ops 1 and 2, I think, were the only.
Those were really good
campaigns. Yeah, they were really good campaigns, but I was also 10. Well, I mean, you know what I mean? I was like, I'm just going to sit here and play this.
That's why I bought the new Modern Warfare 2 remastered. Yeah. Just get that nostalgia feeling when I was young and my brother wasn't on because my parents forced him off. I'd be on the PS3 playing Modern Warfare 2 campaign and be like, oh, this is awesome.
Can't stop me now.
Can we? Yeah. Can we talk about how fast they're producing games?
Yeah.
Like every single year.
It's a nice consistency, but like they're pushing it too much. Yeah. I would love to wait for a game because these games that they're pushing out, there's way too many glitches. Of course, there's going to be glitches, but there's way too many glitches.
Yeah.
Things don't even work for animation sometimes, or if you're playing first person, third person. Just some stupid stuff that happens.
Well, I think part of the issue is that the price is fixed on video games at $60. Game companies found out a long time ago that you can't really sell a video game for much more than $60, which is why microtransactions came along, which is why we're dealing with all this stuff now, is it's becoming more and more expensive to make video games, but the price of the video games aren't getting better, so the companies who can't really release better quality because they won't make their money back now have to go for quantity. You know, they'll just release buggy game after buggy game after buggy game because they have to spend less money on the buggy games and they can make more money from it. They can release them faster and get their returns and keep their business afloat. Now, I would honestly be willing to pay more
for a better
game. For a fully flushed out better game. But I have to appreciate the price fixing a bit because I feel like a lot of games and game companies at this point would still release early access buggy games for a higher price.
I remember when they used to be like $40.
Oh, yeah. It was amazing.
That was amazing, but now they're $60. But that makes sense because technology is advancing.
Yeah.
Where do you cut off the price of how much would a game cost at a standard price? Because it was like $100 to make it, but they're selling it for $60. But I'm seeing like gold edition for Assassin's Creed for like $100 to $150.
I am a firm believer that anything is only worth what somebody's willing to pay for it. You know what I mean? You make a good enough game, you can charge whatever you want for it. But they're not making good enough games.
Yeah.
So I'm saying there is no limit. I would gladly pay $1,000 for a fully working, non-buggy, you know, full-body VR fighting game. You know what I mean? Like, I 100% would, and that's what I'm talking about, where there is no ceiling on the price of video games, just like there is no ceiling on anything else. The only ceiling is the quality.
Yeah.
Is how well can you make this? The price isn't the ceiling, it's your skill, it's your talent, it's your quality.
How well you can make it for people to buy it.
Yeah.
The market.
Yeah.
Think of it this way. Would you pay $600 for a game that is verified to have enough content and be good enough to keep you entertained all year?
Just one year?
One full year. If you played it every day for a year, it would keep you entertained and have enough stuff for you to do for every day of that year. Would you pay $600 for that?
I mean, that's less than $2 a day, so it's not bad.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Is like, there is no limit on price. There is no ceiling on price. You can throw out a number of $600, which, mind you, 10 times the price of a video game now, which, if it's really good, can last you maybe 100 hours or more. Some people put 700 hours into Skyrim. I'm not going to state who. He's sitting here in this studio, and it is definitely not me. But that's the thing though, is that it's like it's the quality.
Yeah.
That's like me with Dying Light. I spent hundreds of hours in that game. Because I love the gameplay. I love the feeling of being surrounded by zombies.
And if you would have known it would have been that good, you would have been happy to pay more for it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying, is that if game companies would just realize that if they make good enough games, they will make their money back and can charge whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
If they prove that it is that good of a game, there is no ceiling.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I see no point in rushing a game at all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's no point. Like Anthem,
yeah,
that had my anticipation for that game to be amazing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But they ruined it.
Yeah.
Because they pushed it.
Yeah.
They should not have pushed that game.
Exactly. That's why we need to move towards quality instead of quantity.
Mm-hmm.
I say, charge whatever you want. Just make a game that's worth that. And the market will decide if the game is worth that. Mm-hmm. If the game isn't worth that, it'll drop and eventually it'll be for free on Steam. And you can sit there and watch it go away.
Yeah.
You can watch it slowly die in front of you because you didn't make a good enough game and you didn't price it right. Now, there's a lot of math, statistics, and probability that factors into that. But on a most basic level of pointing out what is the issue, that'll do it.
Yeah,
that is the reason.
Yeah. Think about Minecraft. They only made one game of that. They're doing updates, but yet that game came out over 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And the quantity of it is, they keep adding to it for free.
Yeah.
And people keep playing it, and it's such a huge...
But there is ways that people do pay for more, though.
What do you mean?
I think you can buy skins on it, can't you?
Oh, yeah, you can.
Which is fair.
Yeah.
If you think about it, because it's not even that much.
Yeah, like I said, the cosmetics don't bug me.
Yeah.
But paying for cosmetics doesn't bug me at all. Paying for DLCs, if they're well done, doesn't bug me at all. Look at Blood and Wine from The Witcher. That was an amazing DLC.
Mm-hmm.
But those are things that you have to look at, where it's like, is it worth my money?
Yeah.
Should this be happening?
Mm-hmm.
And mods.
Mods.
That's why I want a PC.
Mods are amazing. I highly recommend them. Yeah. But watch out for games that try to control the mods that you can put on it.
I do look at the community for console people,
mm-hmm,
because they are trying to make mods for consoles.
They are. It's just harder because it's a different functioning program.
Mm-hmm.
Backing up a little bit, the No Man's Sky, they built up a lot of hype.
Yeah.
And then when it came out, people were like, no.
I was sad when it came out.
Yeah.
Just no. And then enough people complained about it, and they didn't say anything. And then all of a sudden, the developer was like, okay, we're going to remake this entirely. Just give us a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. They did rework it, and I've been told it's a lot better. I was never really that excited for it, just not my kind of game. So
yeah.
I never really got into it.
I agree with it.
But yeah, this may not be a super manly thing to admit, but I did play a lot of Harvest Moon growing up. Like, when I was, between the age group of, 7 and 11, I played a lot of Pokemon and Harvest Moon.
Amen.
But the focus of those games is the fact that's what I'm referring to when I'm talking about things that it's like, you don't need levels, you don't need RPG elements to make a good game.
Mm-hmm.
And Pokemon was an RPG, but it's not like Ash got more powerful so he could hold a Pokemon down and just catch it every time with a ball. You know, you actually had to work.
Yeah.
You actually had to be good at the game. You actually had to understand what you were doing. And it was still fun. I mean, Pokemon is one of the most beloved franchises ever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's just a well-done game. And that's what I'm talking about, is games like that. Games that prove that you don't need RPG elements in everything. And not everything needs to be an advancement.
Yeah.
Like, you just make a fun gameplay loop. You don't need the game to keep promising you that it'll get better, only to end as soon as it actually gets to that point. Just make a good game with a fun gameplay loop. That's why I enjoyed Assassin's Creed 3 and Black Flag so much. Mm-hmm. Is I didn't even really play the story. It was just so much fun to, like, just grab muskets off of dudes and shoot them and to, like, or just swing. Beat them with it, yeah. Yeah, like, it was just, it was such a fun gameplay loop that it made me want to continue the story, but I did that just randomly. Like, I literally spent 4 hours at one point just fist fighting people. Like, I got, like, 20 British soldiers against me and just fist fought them for, like, 3 hours. That was over and over and over again.
Yeah, like, Assassin's Creed Unity, when I had that, I grinded it just for the free roam. I never played the campaign, yeah. And yet somehow I was the highest rank, and I don't know how.
Out of our friend group, yeah, I remember playing that with you, and I was like, Boone, how?
So, dude, I just love running around just assassinating or getting a huge-ass battle. That was the best thing ever.
I really can't blame you. I really can't blame you.
Have you guys ever played Quantum Break?
No, I haven't.
That was I watched gameplay, and I will admit that that was a good game.
Yeah.
It's like a movie slash a game. That was a good concept. I want to see another game like that.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
For sure. Like,
yeah.
It will get a lot of people playing it if they do.
It's like a TV series, but you're playing along with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I think their idea of that does come a bit from Telltale Games. Because Telltale Games is kind of dying, and it's leaving a niche in the market.
I'm sad that that's happening, because Telltale Games, I love watching them on YouTube, but I would love to play them as well.
Yeah, their games are pretty fun, but...
And some of the Telltale games, you can actually play co-op. Which that's a good marketing
thing. Mm-hmm. They split it up too much for my taste. You know, because, like, part one, you're just getting into it. Just into the story, and then it cuts off, and it's like, part two, part three, through eight. Yeah. It's like, I can see why your company's dying. Yeah. You just release one, instead of making me pay for all of them. But yeah, let's see here. What else would you guys like to discuss on the topic of games? Is there anything else that you guys would like to cover? Because if not, we'll go into outreach and then do some closing statements.
Collectibles. In a game, okay. Do you guys go after collectibles or do you guys just leave it?
I'm a bit of an achievement hunter myself. I'm not much for collectibles, but it's just fun for me to get achievements and do the weird things you need to do to get them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Personally, I don't think collectibles are worth it for me. Like Rocky said, Achievement Hunter. I'm more of that because it doesn't really cost any real money to get. It's just time. Which, I mean, technically, time is money.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Technically, but yeah.
Okay.
I would say Modern Warfare 2 again. Because I like that you have to, like, play missions if you missed certain intel things, which is like a computer that you collect and it says enemy intel. If you, like, collect a certain amount, you unlock, like, certain cheat codes that they already put into the system for you to have fun if you replay the mission again and again.
That's actually a pretty good system.
Were you talking about real collectibles or, like, in-game collectibles?
In-game.
Oh.
Yeah, he was talking about in-game collectibles.
That was
I caught that. I'm just not one much for in-game collectibles. Gotcha. I like building up my Steam score. By getting achievements, so I'm a bit of an achievement hunter.
When I heard collectibles, I was thinking, like, real life, like, figure collectibles.
That's what you were thinking?
Yeah, that's what
I was thinking, like, collectibles that you find that, like, you can come back through and it helps you or something.
I thought of bobbleheads in Fallout 4, where they're just, like, guys, like, sitting around, like, they're worth nothing, they mean nothing, they're just, like, a little homage to the game itself. It's not even referencing, like, an outside game, it's just, like, you're playing Fallout. You won't notice unless you see the little blue guys. Like,
yeah, like, or in Dying Light that you, like, find, like, I forgot what it's called, but it's like a sword. It's like a...
Excalibur
sword, yeah.
Yeah,
that thing would just fling zombies off the map. It was hilarious.
I love how we all had different ideas of what a collectible was. Yeah.
May not be a super deep topic today, but once again, that just shows how many different ways there is to interpret a single statement.
Yeah.
And that's why this show exists. That's why we do what we do, is just to point that out, you know, mm-hmm. just to have these conversations that a lot of times I wouldn't even think to have in my day-to-day life.
Exactly, yeah.
And it's so much fun, and it just shows how we need to communicate better with each other. Mm. And how many of our problems come not only from a lack of communication, but from a lack of civil discourse. Because we could have gotten an argument a couple of times throughout this episode simply because of miscommunication.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that's that right there is the true beauty of this podcast and what we're trying to do above all else is just communicate, you know, uncut, unedited.
Show that show people that you can actually communicate.
Yeah.
And not get into arguments or debates.
But actually.
Yeah.
I just like to respect a person's simple opinion.
Mm.
Everyone has their right to an opinion, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. You just have to respect it. If they have a different sense, they have a different sense. But you can also learn from their sense and add to yours.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, there's no reason to get upset about someone else's opinion. I don't see it.
That's fair.
Like saying you suck or you're dog trash in Call of Duty.
Yeah, does it just... It's just toxic. It just doesn't make any sense. But that pretty much wraps up the episode. Before we get into closing statements, I'm just going to go...
Quick thing. Did we ever get Joe's opinion about collectibles?
He's the one who asked the question.
Yeah.
Did you ask I don't think we got his opinion.
What
would you like to say about collectibles?
Well, I mean, they're there, and yes, achievement hunting. I collect them, but if you collect them and they come all into one house, like your house, and you can go look through it, I think that's pretty cool. So. Mm.
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair. But yeah, thank you very much. We'll just jump into outreach real quick. Mm-hmm. As always, we really appreciate you guys tuning in. If you'd like to be on the show, check us out at Ponderosa_Ponderers on Instagram. Or you can reach us at PonderosaPonderers@gmail.com. We're very active. We're always checking it. Mm-hmm. We'd love to hear from you guys. We'd love to answer your questions. And we'd love to have you on the show to talk about anything you want, even if we revisit topics.
Yeah.
And... thank you guys for joining us in the studio. I hope it's been fun for you.
Oh, you're welcome.
It was good.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you guys did good. It's always good to have people on.
Oh, yeah. It's fun.
Yeah. That pretty much wraps it up. Updates as far as the podcast goes. The people at Apple have listened to it. So we're one step closer on being approved for Apple Podcasts.
Can't wait.
Don't forget to watch me and Joe stream sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out our guests, shall
Absolutely.
We?
Right. So if you boys want to talk about your Twitch streaming real quick and where they can find you.
You can find me, Joseph Wilhelmy. My Twitch name is Transubstanti2. It's a little bit hard to spell, but...
So think transubstantial minus the al. Mm.
They'll put your link in or something.
Yeah. We'll link it in the description of the video for you guys.
Yeah.
Me, I just do random streams. I remember one stream I actually just streamed for 10 minutes, but you'll find me on Twitch as well as Dark Sid Batman. Pretty easy to spell. Dark and then Sid SID and then Batman. I hope to soon change the name. That's all.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Mind you, he's not referencing Sid the Sloth from Ice Age. The poor man got locked out of his Dark Side Batman account and then made Dark Sid.
Yup.
But yeah, unless there's anything anyone else would like to say?
This is probably one of the greatest podcasts that I've listened to. So far.
Thank you.
Thank you. Honestly, that means a lot.
Honestly, I will have to admit that I listened to it at first, like, in the middle of the day, and I liked listening to it. But I do like to listen to it when I'm like thinking to myself at night when I go to sleep. So
yeah. I'm glad. Yeah, thank you guys. Like it means a lot. Like just how positive the response has been, because it means a lot to us, because we're just doing this for fun. Mm-hmm. We're doing it because we love it. We're doing it because
it's fun.
It's just a good time.
Yeah,
I can understand that.
Yeah, we're just gonna keep doing it, yeah. And it'd be amazing if you guys would join us for the ride.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So thank you, boys, once again for joining us in the studio. We hope to have you back soon, and keep pondering.